Casino, New Jersey. Chime time is 6:10. We finally made it to Friday. I'm Eric Scott. Bill will be back with us on Monday. 1-800-283-1015. That's the number to join. You can also drop me a comment on the app chat. Love reading them. Busy show today. We got to talk about daylight saving time at some point this morning. I completely forgot that it was coming up this weekend. So we set the clocks ahead an hour. So we lose an hour. And the whole debate over whether this is beneficial, costs a lot of money, hurts our body clocks. All I know is that the dogs don't understand time change. They know when they're supposed to eat. They know when they're supposed to go out. They have a regular schedule. And even though we've sat Holly and Henry down multiple times and tried to explain it to them, they still don't get it. They want their chow when they want their chow. And then Monday coming in for us, I know it'll be a little bit brutal. Fortunately, Bill's been on vacation all week, so maybe he will be well rested. I'm hoping that he remembers. You know, there's a good shot that he may not. And you might get me for an hour on Monday morning. I want to talk about the latest involving ICE. And I was going to try to keep things a little bit lighter today. But what we often say is that in the absence of fact, there is story. And any time that you have a law enforcement action, any time that you have an ICE action, you don't get the facts out immediately because that's not how law enforcement works. They conduct an operation. There may be prosecution involved. There are some confidentiality things. There are things that they're not going to say because there may be an ongoing investigation that if they comment on it could jeopardize that investigation. And in something that is so politically polarizing as the ICE actions in New Jersey, you immediately have people jump in with story that is simply not backed up by fact. And that was the case in a recent ICE action in Trenton. And you now have federal immigration officials that are pushing back against claims by Congresswoman Bonnie Watson Coleman about a detention action in Trenton, where they are outright accusing Watson Coleman of spreading fear and confusion. Federal immigration officials accused her of misinformation after she raised concerns about a law enforcement operation that led to arrests at a Trenton auto body shop. Officials with ICE issued a press release saying the claims made by the Congresswoman about the February 20th incident were inaccurate and mischaracterized the role of federal immigration agents. This is part of the problem, is that you have all of these anti-ICE officials that anytime ICE has conducted a lawful operation, they rush right in to vilify the agents involved and the agency. And of course, they take a couple of swipes at President Trump as well. Watson Coleman's district includes Trenton. She claimed on social media and in statements that she had been briefed on reports that immigration agents detained workers at a body shop without a warrant and had covered security cameras during the operation. Here is what she said in a statement. I've been briefed on reports of ICE agents covering security cameras at a Trenton auto repair shop and detaining multiple individuals without a warrant. Adding her office was monitoring the situation, ICE officials say that was completely false. Now, she didn't say who she had been briefed by. I'm sure it wasn't ICE. Was it the mayor? Was it local police? Was it people that were involved? In the absence of fact, there is story. When we come back from an update of weather and traffic in 3 minutes, I'll give you the facts. And I'm going to play for you an audio clip of Bonnie Watson Coleman basically losing her mind after the State of the Union and basically daring or encouraging an incident like we saw in Minneapolis. I'm telling you, whether it's Governor Mikey Sherrill, Democrats in the legislature, people like Bonnie Watson Coleman, they want an incident like we had in Minneapolis. They're almost encouraging it. You'll hear it from her own words after we get an update of weather and traffic in 3 minutes. It's 6:15 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning.
Yo, what's up, New Jersey?
Looking for something that's so Jersey? Tune in to Jersey Thing with Eric Scott. Weeknights at 6 on New Jersey 101.5. Presented by RWJ Barnabas Health and supported by Parks Casino and Earth Treasures Jewelers. Eric has fun diving into what makes Jersey tick. From the lighthearted quirks we love to the important issues that matter most. Join the conversation at 6 p.m. and watch anytime on YouTube. Jersey Thing with Eric Scott on New Jersey 101.5. Because nobody does Jersey like Jersey.
5:622 on New Jersey 101.5. In the absence of fact, there is story. And New Jersey Democratic Congresswoman Bonnie Watson Coleman was sure telling a whopper of a story after a law enforcement action in Trenton in February. And now you have immigration and customs officials pushing back on her claims about a Trenton detention and accusing her of spreading fear and confusion. Don't expect her to back off. ICE was disputing claims about a Trenton auto shop arrest where Watson Coleman said in a statement shortly after the incident, "I've been briefed on reports of ICE agents covering security cameras at a Trenton auto repair shop and detaining multiple individuals without a warrant." That was her story. And who briefed her? Where did she get that information from? She was surprisingly silent about that. Now in a news release, ICE says the arrests were carried out by the agency's federal partners acting on a court-ordered criminal warrant, first lie by Watson Coleman. The primary target who was arrested is Eduardo Reyes, a criminal illegal alien from Guatemala, wanted for aggravated assault, weapons offenses, assault by auto, leaving the scene of an accident, and endangerment. He was the subject of a criminal warrant and was taken into custody after attempting to flee. Doesn't sound like the narrative that Watson Coleman was promoting. And now listen to this. The evening of the State of the Union address by President Trump, you had a bunch of Democrats that were doing their own thing. They called it the People's State of the Union. And here's what Watson Coleman had to say during that event, and pay very close attention to her tone.
They're gearing up in New Jersey now, but New Jersey is gearing up for ICE. We want you to know that we're going to be ready when you come here. So you think you saw something in Minneapolis? You come to New Jersey. We may be small, but we're freaking mighty.
You think you saw something in Minneapolis? Come to New Jersey. Does that not sound like a taunt or a dare? Does that not sound like somebody who wants a violent confrontation? Does that not sound like somebody who is itching to be able to take advantage of a violent confrontation for personal and political gain? And Bill and I've talked about this multiple times with these state sanctuary policies and with this, with Governor Sherrill's video portal where she's encouraging people to take video of ICE actions and upload it to a state-sponsored web portal. That doesn't sound like somebody who wants a de-escalation. That sounds like somebody who's going to continue to spread misinformation and continue to taunt ICE, hoping for a Minneapolis-style confrontation. I want you to listen to it one more time.
They're gearing up in New Jersey now, but New Jersey is gearing up for ICE. We want you to know that we're going to be ready when you come here. So you think you saw something in Minneapolis? You come to New Jersey. We may be small, but we're freaking mighty.
Yeah. Congresswoman Bonnie Watson Coleman. Pam, in Warren County, you're on New Jersey 101.5. It's almost to the point, Pam, where you can't believe anything that you hear after these incidents.
No, I don't. I mean, I first of all, I support ICE 100%. And one thing I've noticed over the years, especially anything involving President Trump, they will deliberately misconstrue, also known as lying, about anything that the man does or says or tries to back. And as far as that comment from her, I think that's just terrible. I mean, I really don't want to see what happened out in Minnesota with those lunatics happen here. And for some reason, I don't understand that the Democrats seem to love that kind of stuff. It just doesn't make any sense.
Well, it's dangerous, Pam, and I appreciate you calling in New Jersey 101.5. I mean, how do you feel when you hear your congressional representative taunting ICE and basically say, you know, we want the same thing that happened in Minneapolis to happen here? Who benefits from that? Only the political agenda of Democrats like Bonnie Watson Coleman. I had to play it a couple times just to make sure I was hearing what I thought I was hearing. When you hear that from her, what do you think? How does that make you feel? That that's your congressional representative or one of your congressional representatives in Washington. 1-800-283-101.5. And then you had this situation in Central Jersey where you had a local zoning official threatening to call ICE because a truck was blocking her driveway. I have that audio, too. We'll play that and talk more about this. And, yeah, if you missed it, I'll play the Bonnie Watson thing again after we get an update of weather and traffic and news with Jen in 3 minutes. 627. Good morning. 638 it is on New Jersey 101.5. Friday morning in the Great Garden State. I'm Eric Scott. Bill will be back with us on Monday. And we're talking about immigration and customs enforcement actions in New Jersey. And as you've heard Bill and I talk about a lot in recent months, in the absence of fact, there is story. And largely, it is the story perpetrated by the anti-ICE left that fills in gaps instead of waiting for actual facts. And this was the case, again, during an enforcement action in Trenton. It happened in February, where you had Congresswoman Bonnie Watson Coleman, whose district includes Trenton, immediately rush to judgment and vilify ICE, claiming they made an arrest without a warrant, that they were covering up security cameras, made it sound like something nefarious. And finally, ICE issued a statement saying all of that is false and blasted the congresswoman for spreading fear and misinformation. What really happened is that, according to ICE, and a federal partner of the agency, were acting on a court-ordered criminal warrant for Eduardo Reyes, a criminal illegal alien from Guatemala, wanted for aggravated assault, weapons offenses, assault by auto, leaving the scene of an accident, endangering the victim. A criminal warrant taken into custody after attempting to flee. Now, after the facts came out, heard nothing from Congresswoman Bonnie Watson Coleman. And chances are she won't say anything about that incident again, because now the facts that have come out about this case, they don't fit her original narrative. And she, during the People's State of the Union, which a lot of Democrats were holding at the same time or after President Trump's actual State of the Union, is among those Democrats in New Jersey basically taunting ICE and challenging them so that it triggers an incident similar to what we saw in Minneapolis. Listen again to the congresswoman.
They're gearing up in New Jersey now, but New Jersey is gearing up for ICE. We want you to know that we're going to be ready when you come here. So you think you saw something in Minneapolis? You come to New Jersey. We may be small, but we're freaking mighty.
What does that sound like to you? 1-800-283-101.5. Ricky in Jackson, you're on New Jersey 101.5. Ricky, what do you think after hearing Bonnie Watson Coleman?
Hey, Eric, good morning. I must say I disagree strongly with any congresswoman or congressman who jumps on the bandwagon of inciting violence against any kind of law enforcement officers. We have far too many people in this country who are mentally ill, far too many people who are easily influenced, and far too many people who are willing to do things that are against the grain and should not be occurring in this country whatsoever. it's just it's atrocious, and any person in office who incites violence should be, in my opinion, immediately removed from office.
Yeah, I mean, it'll never happen, unfortunately, Ricky, but, you know, and that is a very good point that you brought up. And, you know, this whole idea, when Governor Mikey Sherrill announced that she was sponsoring a state web portal where you could upload video of ICE encounters in New Jersey, of federal immigration agents doing their job, in addition to all of the other anti-ICE policies that her administration supports, the idea that somebody is just going to very calmly stand off to the side with their cell phone, taking video and not interfering, how many times have we seen that happen? It doesn't happen that way. It changes the whole dynamic, because now you have law enforcement. They are aware that you are taking video of them. And frankly, they don't care. What they do care about is that wild card factor. Are you going to do anything other than that? So now they're distracted, and they have to put at least one agent's eyes on you to make sure that you're not going to interfere with their operation. So that in and of itself endangers law enforcement. And it changes the whole dynamic. And then when they have carried out a lawful action, and you have people like Bonnie Watson Coleman rushing to judgment and immediately vilifying that. I mean, she said in a statement she was briefed on reports of ICE agents covering security cameras at a Trenton auto body repair shop and detaining multiple individuals without a warrant. That's what she said in a statement. I'd like to know who briefed her and where she got that information from, because it's patently not true. She isn't going to rescind it. But Congresswoman, if you're listening, who briefed you? Who briefed you? Who gave you that information? Do you think she will now apologize because she got it wrong? No, because she got out of it what she wanted. She got an anti-ICE misinformation statement out there and carried by the mainstream media. As far as I know, nobody picked up the phone and called her and said, well, who told you that? Or tried to verify it on their own. Now, I will tell you, it is very difficult when these actions take place, because our newsroom will always reach out to ICE and other people involved trying to gather facts. Facts matter. ICE is not always immediately responsive. And that's part of the problem. But that's not uncommon when you have a law enforcement action that has been taken, whether it's on the state, county, or local level. You often will not get information right away because there's an ongoing investigation. And you don't want to compromise that investigation. But instead of waiting for the facts to come out, you have people like Bonnie Watson Coleman who will jump out with a false narrative to try to vilify ICE for personal and political gain. And that's disgusting. Also disgusting was this incident that happened in central New Jersey in Old Bridge, where you had a Republican zoning board member threatening to call ICE because a work truck was blocking her driveway. So let's make sure that we call both sides out on this. You'll hear that coming up here in a minute after we get an update of weather and traffic with Bob and Jill in 3 minutes. It is 6:45 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning.
Your news, your state, your station. Get breaking news, traffic, weather, and alerts on the New Jersey 101.5 app. Sponsored by Hackensack Meridian Health.
6:53 on New Jersey 101.5. I'm Eric Scott. Bill will be back with us on Monday. All right, so, yes, we criticized Congresswoman Bonnie Watson Coleman for her false narrative on an ICE arrest in Trenton. But now let's flip over and target a Republican zoning board member in Old Bridge caught on police body cam footage threatening to call ICE on a tree crew she said was blocking her driveway in September. The video went viral on Reddit and Instagram, posted by Storyteller 1986, showing Patricia Testaverde speaking with two police officers on November 5th, suggesting she call ICE on a tree crew she assumed was in the country illegally because they spoke, quote, broken English. I'm going to play the body cam footage for you. This is the audio. You can see the video at NJ1015.com.
And I'm going to call ICE on you for these guys. So guess what he did? He called you guys.
Okay. No, not yet. I was scared. There's still about
lights on your ID card or anything? I'm going to wait for my the councilwoman to call me back.
What's your first name?
What?
You have to take a report on this.
No, wait. I'm going to wait for your chief to call you.
Okay. Well, our chief's not going to call us over a neighbor dispute, though. So.
Okay. Let me get water. So,
yeah,
want
no water? Problem. No, I'm all right. We're all right. What's their story? Apparently, she knows chief, councilwoman, and
she's threatening him. Oh, Owen Henry's here. Owen Henry is not the mayor, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah. So this was right out of the "Don't you know who I am?" file, and cops really didn't much care. She then told NJ.com, Testaverde did, that she didn't intend to follow through on the threat. She was just upset that the tree crew was blocking her driveway. A petition's already been started to try to either force her resign or a recall petition or whatever. But it's worth a watch. Why do people do that? I mean, you are a zoning board official. You are a low-level government employee at best. And yes, she is a Republican. And yes, she threatened to call ICE. And the cops were just like, she wouldn't even give her name. And she was like, hang on. She goes, she walks away and makes a phone call. And the cop at one point says, apparently she's got a councilwoman on speed dial. Just stupid. Watch the video at NJ1015.com. All right, when we come back, after the update of news, weather, and traffic with Jen at the top of the hour, we're going to get into something that is a little bit lighter. Jill and I both hurt ourselves in a really stupid way and almost in the exact same way, and we couldn't believe it. What are some of the stupid ways that you've hurt yourself? And wait till you hear Jill's story and my story in 4 minutes on New Jersey 101.5 at 6:56. Good morning.
Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and X, or visit NJ1015.com for the latest Jersey news and updates. New Jersey 101.5.
Parks Casino, New Jersey Chime Time is 7:09. I'm Eric Scott. Friday morning in the Great Garden State. Bill will be back with us on Monday. And a little bit later on this morning, on a Jersey thing last night, and if you haven't checked it out, it airs 6 to 7 p.m. right after Dominski and more. I talked to a guy who wrote a book about the Titanic. I've always been fascinated by the Titanic, but I did not realize how many direct ties the sinking of the Titanic over a century ago had in New Jersey. And we'll play a small segment of that interview. It was funny this morning. You know, everybody comes in and we just kind of trade stories. What did you do last night? What happened? This stuff. And, you know, small talk, water cooler talk. And it turns out that Jill and I both hurt ourselves in different incidents in almost the exact same way. So, Jill, what did you do?
See, that's why it's good to open up to people,
right?
You know, and then it becomes like a support group. I was tossing and turning, and I fight with my pillows. And, of course, there's dogs in the bed.
Of course.
So sometimes, like, it's hard to tug on covers and stuff. So I think that's what happened as I, like, was tugging on something. Maybe one of the dogs let go of the pressure. And anyway, I stabbed myself in my chin with my thumbnail. And I remember, I totally forgot about it. You know, went on with my sleep and slumber. I woke up this morning as I'm brushing my teeth. I'm like, what is this dark spot on my chin? And I'm like, oh.
Were you bleeding?
I guess it looked like a little, can you see it? It's like a little, it looks like a little shaving nick.
Yeah, it looks like you nicked yourself shaving.
I did not.
No shave. Judgment.
I know. Hey, women do it too. But.
Yeah, right? I did it, and a couple of days ago, did the exact same thing. I was in bed, and as I was getting up, I reached over for my glasses. I started to drop my glasses. As I went to catch them, I kind of punched myself in the forehead, and my thumbnail scratched my forehead. And I didn't think anything of it. So I get up, I get out of the shower, and like you, I'm looking in the mirror. I'm like, why am I bleeding?
It's like psycho.
And I got this little river of blood coming down my my forehead. And it got me thinking, you know, what are the stupid ways that you have hurt yourself? The number of times that I have actually punched myself.
Now, punching is
in the face or other body parts. My favorite is, have you ever dropped the phone and go to grab it, and as you swoop around, you grab the phone and you punch yourself with it? Have you ever done that?
Absolutely not. What?
I have done that a couple of times and managed to punch myself in a very sensitive area.
Oh, no.
And then it's not the phone that's on the floor, it's me.
Oh, gosh. Oh, that sounds tragic.
And I don't fall down the stairs. I fall up the stairs.
I often do that. That happens to me, especially like I remember the PATH trains when I lived in North Jersey.
Oh, yeah.
And my friends would just grab me by the scruff of my neck. Yeah, right now I have another injury that's like right below my thumb, that meaty part, you know, where you say how meat should be cooked.
Yeah.
I think that's from screwdriver, you know, like when you do it, like you're tightening up a chair the other day. But, you know, you find these injuries on your body and you're like, how did that happen? Like,
where did that bruise come from? You know, or sometimes Sandra will be like, what were you doing today? Where did that bruise come from? I don't know.
Yeah, it's so embarrassing.
But there is, for her, she will laugh uncontrollably at somebody falling down. She cannot...
Oh, that's
help
bad.
Herself.
That's bad. Because it does look funny.
It does look funny. She can't, if I fall down or somebody trips and she cannot help herself, even if the person is hurt. Now she will go and try to help them.
Yeah.
But as she's helping them, she's laughing to the point of tears.
She's that drunk friend.
Yeah.
I'd like to be in a ladies' room with her. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So I'm wondering, have you done something stupid to hurt yourself? And it's okay. There's no judgment.
Make
if you want to remain
better.
Anonymous,
yeah.
Make Jill and I feel better because we both scratched our faces in a stupid way and drew blood to the point where, you know, because I do the video podcast at night for Jersey Thing.
He's got a really cool shirt on today.
Oh, it's a tropical shirt.
He wears really cool shirts.
We're debuting a new Yacht Rock video.
Awesome.
Tonight.
Great.
With Thomas. So that will be fun.
Hopefully Eric won't hurt himself with his captain's hat or anything. Well,
Sandra actually gave me a little bit of, what do you call it? Concealer?
Yeah.
Yeah. To cover up the blood. Because nobody wants to be looking at my face with a big scab in the center of my forehead.
Yes. I'm so glad you just said that. Because this morning there I was dabbing on concealer. Because this thing was dark. It was that dark red, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Scabbing. You know, my granddaughter... a little newborn, now they have like the hands are covered on the onesies.
Oh,
you
know, right.
That's what we need. We need to put mittens on when we go to sleep.
Yeah, because have you ever tried to cut the fingernails, a baby's fingernails?
Yeah.
We used to have to do that with the boys because they would gouge themselves. They'd wake up from a nap and they'd be bloody. And we're like, what happened while they were sleeping?
Well, nothing's changed for us.
Yeah, right?
Many years later.
I'm still doing it. Maybe I have to wear mittens when I... when I go to bed now. How have you accidentally hurt yourself? 7:15 is the time on New Jersey 101.5. 1-800-283-1015. Drop me a comment on the app chat, and we'll take more of your stories after we get an update of weather and traffic in 3 minutes. Good morning.
New Jersey 101.5 severe weather alerts deliver fast, accurate, critical updates from Chief Meteorologist Dan Zarrow and the New Jersey 101.5 weather team. Powered by Earth Treasures Jewelers, Ultimate Collision, and Meyer and DePew.
7:22 it is on New Jersey 101.5. I'm Eric Scott. Bill's back with us on Monday. Stupid ways that you have hurt yourself. Jill and I were talking this morning before we came on the air, and it turns out we pretty much did the same thing, punching ourselves in the face and then scratching our face with our nails, mine deep enough to be able to actually draw blood. But that is just one of a whole myriad of ways. I could spend the entire morning talking about all of the dumb ways that I have hurt myself. I'm embarrassed to say that this has happened multiple times where I've dropped my phone, I go to grab it, and as I swing my arm around, punch myself in a very sensitive place. Which, by the way, Sandra thinks is hilarious. And are you one of those people that if somebody hurts themselves, you can't help but laugh? Stacy in West Orange, you're on New Jersey 101.5. All right, Stacy, how'd you hurt yourself?
Hi, I have two ways I hurt myself. Okay. I also punched myself in the face when I was flossing my upper teeth and my hand slipped.
Oh, well. You were flossing your teeth, your hand slipped.
My upper teeth.
Did you punch yourself in the nose? Like that?
Yeah, I punched myself in the nose.
All right. How else?
The other one, I was sniffing a candle and I burnt my eyelashes because, like an idiot, the candle was lit and I was trying to smell the candle.
Oh my God! How long did it take for them to grow back?
It wasn't that bad, but it was just. I think it hurt my ego more.
I almost wish. Was anybody around to see either incident?
No.
No witnesses. That's one of those things where it's like video or it didn't happen, photos it didn't happen. Stacy, I appreciate you sharing your story with us on New Jersey 101.5. How about you? What's a bizarre or stupid way that you have hurt yourself? 1-800-283-101.5. Marie in West Long Branch on the app chat says, I was walking quickly through the parking lot at my condo, hands full, freezing out 2 weeks ago when I crashed to the asphalt after hitting the speed bump that I couldn't see because I wasn't looking down and there was still some snow cover. Who knew speed bumps also slow people down, not just cars? I did damage, but somehow nothing broke. Sometimes you do these things and you think to yourself, hold on, that could have been so much worse. And I spent a lot of time cooking in the kitchen, and I'm really pretty amazed that I have not really hurt myself with a knife. I have burned myself. I was finishing a dish in a metal skillet in the oven, and I was on the phone at the same time. And I had to take it out of the oven, and I didn't grab the pot holder. And so I'm having this conversation. I think I was even on the phone with my brother. I'm having this conversation, open the oven door, reach in to grab the skillet, barehanded in a 450-degree oven, and it burned the logo of the pan that was on the handle into the palm of my hand. I heard it sizzle. It took a second for me. And then I said a string of bad words, immediately put my hand under the cold water. But for weeks, I had the logo of the pan burned into the palm of my right hand. Barbara in Hamilton Township, you hurt yourself on vacation. First of all, what were you doing in the gym on vacation? That doesn't seem like that goes
together. The girls wanted to go. They're about 13, 14 years old, and they wanted to go. So I said, okay, we'll go, because I always went to the gym. And they wanted to go on the treadmill. And I said, no, I'll show you how it's done. So I went on, and I didn't realize it was a different treadmill than I was used to. It had speeds. Well, it was on the highest speed. It was literally like a Jetson cartoon. I couldn't get off of it. And the girls were laughing hysterically. They were on the ground and I'm screaming, "Chill!" I'm telling you, one of my feet was off the treadmill. I jumped off. My whole side of my body got hit on the bar.
Oh, no.
And that was it. But I showed them how it was done.
Oh, you sure did. Were there adult beverages involved, Barbara?
I don't remember.
That's a yes. That's a yes.
It was before videos and cell phones. I'm going back maybe about 20 years. Yeah. So I never forgot it. And my daughter and her girlfriend never forgets it. They'll say, oh, yeah, Mom, you're going to show us how it's done.
That's funny. Yeah, well, you sure did, Barbara. Thanks for sharing your story on New Jersey 101.5. 728 is the time. How have you hurt yourself? What stupid way did you hurt yourself? We'll talk more about it after we get an update of weather and traffic in 2 minutes. It's 728. Good morning. 7:38 on New Jersey 101.5. I'm Eric Scott. Happy Friday, everyone. Hope you've got some great plans for the weekend. The St. Patrick's Parade season begins this weekend. Well, Jill, I will tell you that we are not alone in stupid ways that we have hurt ourselves, both callers and folks on the app chat.
Thank goodness.
Detailing. Although, I will tell you, a lot of these incidents seem to happen at the gym.
Oh, at the gym. Oh, that's another one. Yeah.
Yeah. Like even Tony in Brick, who's on New Jersey 101.5. Tony, you hurt yourself at the gym.
Well, it was at home. Okay. Remember the old Solo Flex?
Oh, I had one of those.
Yeah. Well, my right arm is weaker than my left because I'm left-handed. So I'm doing my workout. Now I have to do curls, which you did on the leg machine, or arm curls.
Yep.
Well, I get on one knee, I'm grabbing the bar, and I'm moving my fingers to get a good grip. I said, all right, you really got to get going, got to get going. And as I pulled back real quick, I never put the resistance bands on.
Oh, no.
The bar comes right back, hit me between my nose and my upper lip. I mean, so hard, a half inch higher, I would have broke my nose. A half inch lower, I would have knocked teeth out. Oh. I was actually dazed. I hit myself so hard. Yeah, I never put the bands on.
I remember that machine, and you're right. If you didn't have them on right, or one broke, you'd have pieces of that. One broke on me when I was trying to do the pull downs. Remember, you put the resistor bands on, you had that little pull down bar, and I crunked myself right in the head with it.
Oh,
yeah. See, this is my point, Tony. It gets to a point where nothing good happens from exercise. Eventually, you will hurt yourself.
Tell that to my doctor.
Yeah, I know. All right, Tony, thanks for sharing your story on New Jersey 101.5. Yeah, Jill and I both essentially punched ourselves in the face. She did it trying to pull up her covers and scratched her chin, and which started bleeding. I did it trying to put my glasses on, and I scratched my forehead with my thumbnail, and it was bleeding. And are you also like Sandra? Because there is nothing that is funnier to her than somebody falling down, even if they hurt themselves. And I don't fall downstairs, I fall upstairs. I have really big feet, so my feet don't fit on the stairs. So I almost have to go up the stairs on like the balls of my feet. And if I slip, my feet will come out from underneath me and I'll fall right down on the stairs. And there's a couple times I've bonked myself right in the forehead. And, you know, it hurts for a second. If she's in the dining room or the living room or in the center hallway and she hears that, I know she is laughing out loud. She knows exactly what's happened. She can be in the family room on the other side of the house and hear that thunk thunk, and she just starts laughing because she knows I'm falling up the stairs again. And there is nothing funnier than seeing somebody else hurt themselves in an odd way. And I've done it so many times. And often it's, you know, you could be doing something stupid. Knives. We started talking about knives and kitchen injuries. I was making soup one time in the wintertime. And I was using a mandolin. And Sandra and I, we were in the kitchen. We had the music on and we were kind of dancing around the kitchen. And I was making the soup and we were having a couple of glasses of wine. And I had a carrot, and I was slicing the carrot on the mandolin, not paying attention. No, I wasn't using the safety guard. And the mandolin that I use, it is razor sharp. And I just grazed the tip of my middle finger on my right hand. And it was so sharp that I didn't even realize that it had happened until I went to grab my glass of wine and I grabbed the stem of the glass and there is blood pouring out of the tip of my finger. And I look over on the counter, and the tip of my finger is sitting on the top of these sliced carrots. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to gross you out. But it was shocking. And we both looked at each other. We started laughing about it. I wrapped my finger up, cleaned everything up, finished making the soup, didn't actually go to, there was nothing to stitch. I mean, it was not deep into the finger, but it was kind of the fatty part of the tip of your finger that got lopped off. And, like 3 days later, it was still bleeding. And I finally went to an urgent care. And they was like, well, there's nothing we can do. There's nothing we can stitch. You just kind of have to keep pressure on it and a pressure bandage. Eventually, it healed and some scar tissue fell over it. Now I have this amazing callus on the tip of my finger. I mean, I was concerned that, you know, I wouldn't be able to drive if my middle finger on my right hand was damaged, because how would people know that I was giving them the Jersey salute if I had my finger all bandaged up? It is 7:44 now on New Jersey 101.5. We're going to get an update of weather and traffic coming up here. Let me update you on a couple of other things real quick, because a lot of you keep asking because you missed the date. My next appearance at Ristorante Luca in Bordentown is going to be on March 22nd. Sandra and I are going to be there hosting their Italian dinner from 4 until 7 p.m. Now, each time we've done this, it has sold out. Great price, $49, family style, at the table. Going to be amazing. But please make your reservations. You do not have to pay in advance, by the way. A couple of you have asked. No, you don't. You just have to make a reservation to secure your spot so we know how many people are coming. Go to RestauranteLuca.com. A lot of you have asked, are you doing the Hamilton St. Patrick's Parade this year? Yes, I am, and it is next weekend. It's the 14th, and I will be on the Longford Landscape bus/float again this year. Sandra and I both will, handing out candy and T-shirts and all that kind of stuff. So if you are going to the Hamilton Mercer County St. Patrick's Day Parade, not this weekend, next weekend on the 14th, I hope to be able to see you and toss you a T-shirt on the parade route. 7:45 now on New Jersey 101.5. We'll get an update of weather and traffic heading into the weekend in 3 minutes.
Staying on top of the topics that matter to you, we are New Jersey 101.5.
7:53 it is on New Jersey 101.5 as we wrap up our conversation. You made Jill and I feel a whole lot better this morning knowing that we're not the only ones who hurt each other in stupid ways. Chris in Jackson, you're on New Jersey 101.5. All right, so I hurt myself cutting carrots. You hurt yourself cutting a potato?
Yes, about 30 years ago. I don't cook. 50 years of marriage, I think I've cooked 4 times. My husband was watching a football game. I said, all right, I'll make dinner. I peeled the potatoes, was cutting them. Stupid me, put the potato in my hand. And for some reason, I sliced all the way down to my bone.
Oh.
I had to go to the emergency room and get stitches.
Ouch. Oh,
oh yeah.
That hurts, yeah, just thinking about it.
They don't let me do potatoes anymore.
I understand, Chris. Yeah, got to be careful with those knives. Oh, thanks, God, for calling New Jersey 101.5. Yeah, it's funny. On the app chat, somebody said, hey, the real question is, you cut your finger cutting carrots. Did you use the carrots? Yeah, I did. I washed them off and they went into the pot. There is nothing more dangerous in a kitchen than a dull knife. That's true. There's nothing more dangerous than a dull knife, because the knife, if it's dull, it'll slip. And that's when you cut yourself. It's not a sharp knife. It's a dull knife. And Kelvin Dunwald says, as the old saying goes, it's all fun and games until someone gets hurt. And then it's hilarious. It is 7:55 now on New Jersey 101.5. All right, coming up in this next hour, gas prices. What are you paying for gas right now in New Jersey? There has been a huge spike over the last couple of weeks, and it doesn't look like it is going to end anytime soon. We talked to Patrick DeHaan on a Jersey thing last night, and I want to share part of his insight. This could impact tourism and your plans for a summer vacation. It is 7:55. You'll hear that after we get an update of news, weather, and traffic with Jen in 5 minutes on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning.
New Jersey news when it matters. Breaking updates, traffic, weather, and alerts on the New Jersey 101.5 app. Supported by Hackensack Meridian Health.
New Jersey Chime Time is 8:10 Friday morning in the Great Garden State. I'm Eric Scott. Bill will be back with us on Monday after a well-earned weeks of vacation. 1-800-283-101.5 is the telephone number. What are you paying for gasoline? What'd you pay to fill up? Slowly but surely, we have seen gas prices creeping. Now they're starting to spike a little bit, about 16 cents higher in the last week. And now gas just about everywhere in New Jersey is above $3 a gallon. Now, we're not above $4 a gallon like we were a couple of years ago, but is it starting to pinch a little bit? And obviously, the war in the Middle East, especially involving Israel and Iran and the United States and the closure of the Strait of Hormuz, and, you know, you're cutting off a lot of supply in that area, and that is going to continue to have an impact. According to AAA, average cost this morning in New Jersey is $3.14 per gallon. Maybe a couple places, especially if you're paying cash, where you might still be able to get it for less than $3 a gallon. But usually, this is about the time that it starts to hurt. Patrick DeHaan is the chief petroleum analyst with Gas Buddy. He was a guest on Jersey Thing last night and talked about how long this is going to last, and more importantly, the impact that it is now having on the trucking industry. So here's some of that conversation from last night's show.
And you've kind of made the point that it's not just Iran and bombing that has that started the upward trend in prices. It was starting to go up anyway. Can you explain a little bit of what those factors are?
Yeah, Dan, you know, in the last couple of weeks, we've seen oil prices perking up and the possibility that something was going to develop in Iran. The risk calculus was shifting, but also we have the seasonal trends, as you mentioned. Certainly, as the weather warms up across much of the country, Americans tend to get out more. We're already starting the transition to cleaner, more expensive summer gasoline across much of the country. And we're also getting into the time of year that refineries start doing maintenance ahead of the start of the summer. So prices had already been going up, but now we have a pretty big jolt with what's developed in the Middle East.
That's Patrick DeHaan. He is the chief petroleum analyst at Gas Buddy, along with New Jersey 101.5's Dan Alexander. We're a big corridor state, Patrick, in New Jersey, and we have a lot of trucking activity here. Diesel is rising faster than gasoline. What's behind that big spike? Because that's critical to our infrastructure here.
Yeah, absolutely. As you mentioned, diesel prices up quite a bit more than gasoline, with the national average for diesel now at its highest level since December of 2023. It's jumped over 40 cents a gallon, and it could go up another 20 to 35 cents a gallon here. A lot of what's behind that, well, lower inventory, some of that ultra low weather that we saw a little over a month ago resulted in the cutoff of natural gas, heating oil jumping in. Diesel and heating oil, essentially the same product. So we saw demand jump. And now in the Middle East, a drone attack on a major Saudi refinery that produces a lot of diesel also impacting price. And keep in mind, Qatar, just a couple of days ago, ceasing natural gas production because of the Strait of Hormuz blockade. And so essentially, again, back to the natural gas gone while heating oil and diesel jumps in. So that's boosted the price significantly.
When you look at the supply side of this, how much of what is being affected in the Middle East directly by Iran would have been destined for refineries in the United States? And do we have the capacity to make up some of that with our domestic supply?
Yeah, not much of it comes to the U.S. In terms of the amount of oil. A lot of it heads to other countries, but the problem is, being a global commodity, even if it doesn't head for the U.S., it still impacts our prices because those customers are still going to have to now look for oil elsewhere where possible, and that will impact us. So, you know, not necessarily an immediate effect, but again, oil being a global commodity, it makes this a very big problem. As long as the strait is blocked, it's not really replaceable. I mean, you know, the talk of where could we offset this? Even the nation's SPR is a one-time shot of oil. The problem is the oil is not in the right place now. It's needed in the Middle East. It's needed in Asia. The SPR in the United States is saltwater caverns down in Texas and Louisiana. But the biggest problem is that's a pool, a one-time shot of oil, whereas we are missing out on 20 to 25 million barrels a day that would traverse through the Strait of Hormuz. There's really nothing that we can do to offset that massive loss.
Yeah, that is going to come up multiple times. That's Patrick DeHaan from Gas Buddy, their chief petroleum analyst. He was talking about the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. That's what SPR is. And Trump has been willing to tap into that in the past. I don't know that that makes sense to do that right now. The U.S. is going to have to take control of that strait and convince some of the other countries of the Middle East that are major oil producers to start shipping through there. But right now, gas prices just beneath $3.15 a gallon. What are you paying? And is it starting to pinch you now? Are you looking at scaling back in some way, shape, or form? 1-800-283-101.5. It's 8:15. We'll get an update of traffic and weather in 3 minutes on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning.
Get the latest traffic, weather, and local news with New Jersey 101.5, keeping you informed on all things Jersey.
I got an 8:22. It is on New Jersey 101.5. We are dealing with a pretty significant increase in gas prices. And if I'm looking on the app chat at what you're paying now, at Costco and places like that, you can still get it for under $3 a gallon. But like this comment from Bridgewater, paid $2.83 at Costco this morning. That's up about 10 cents from last week or the week before. On average, prices are up about 16 cents a gallon. Edgar in Kendall Park says, I commute over 85 miles a day by car. It's not a pinch. It's more like a cut. And usually they say that sweet spot is once you start getting over $3 a gallon, that's where it really starts having a more significant impact on the family budget. I mean, you remember when we were not commuting during the COVID era, we were saving a pile of money because you weren't having to fill up your tank and you really weren't doing a lot of driving. And for me, it's not that bad because I'm less than 5 miles from the studio. So, you know, I might maybe if I've got a couple of errands to run, drive 20 miles a day. And my car is a little over 5 years, or actually 5.5 years old. I just turned 31,000 miles on it. Now, a lot of that is because, again, didn't drive at all during COVID, really. And, you know, it was a big shock to our family budget when Sandra, who commutes to Flemington from the Lawrence Princeton area every day, when she had to start going into the office again every day. Because, you know, now you're filling up at least once a week, sometimes twice, if you have a really long commute. And now if you go from a $30 fill-up back to a $50 or a $60 fill-up, that's pretty significant. What are you paying, and is it really starting to hurt again? 1-800-283-1015. And as we heard from the analyst from Gas Buddy, this is going to continue for a while. And for New Jersey, it's a pretty significant impact to tourism if gas prices remain high. If we get to $3.50 or we get to $4 a gallon, and I don't know that we're actually going to get there. But if we do, think about the impact to, you know, your day trips down the shore. Think about the impact to folks that are going to be driving to the shore from out of state. A lot of that we saw kind of went away. So it's far-reaching in terms of its impact. Diesel prices are going up faster than gas prices, and that hurts everybody because it's usually about a 2 or 3 week lag between where you see a significant spike in diesel fuel costs and then those costs starting to get passed on to the consumer through higher shipping costs, which then retailers are going to, you know, raise their prices because they have to cover that. If it's a short-term spike, either the trucking companies or the endpoint retailer, they'll eat that cost for a little while. But eventually, we'll have to start to recover that. And if you are a truck driver, what's your diesel gone up to? And what does it cost to fill that? Greg in Andover said diesel for his truck up almost a dollar from a month ago, over $4.50 a gallon statewide. And this is it is not all because of Iran. And, you know, some people have said, well, what about Alaska? Everybody's forgetting about Alaska. We have more oil reserves in Alaska, oceans worth. Yes, that's true. We do. But you've removed it's a commodity. Oil trades as a commodity. So when you remove hundreds of thousands, millions of barrels a day from the worldwide supply, that pushes the commodity price of oil, no matter where it's sourced from, higher. And that's why it will impact the United States. Jeremiah in Middlesex, you're on New Jersey 101.5. You haven't noticed any increase, Jeremiah? Where are you filling up?
Quick Check is like I walk out my front door and I look at Quick Check. And their price, I'm wondering if it's like sort of like the BP model where they always kept their prices higher than it should have been. And then now they're just kind of finally like lowering it. But I've seen the prices steadily coming down. I'm like $2.83 a gallon. Where am I? I need to go fill up there. Where is that?
Yeah, you can find them. You can find them. Where is, and that's in Middlesex? That's the Quick Check in Middlesex? Yeah.
Yeah, they were coming down. They were like higher, like I think like three, some like mid threes. And now it's like three. It's just coming down. It's not going up. That's why I'm kind of like, maybe there is something I'm not aware of because every company's handle everything differently.
Right.
Like I don't get that process. I'm no gas expert. At least not that type of gas. I eat the wrong food.
you and me both. Amen, brother. All right, Jeremiah, I got to run. Thanks for your call on New Jersey 101.5. Yeah. I mean, look, there different places will price it differently. And you know, it depends on where they're getting it and how it's priced and how it's delivered and what they're paying and how long it's been in the ground. 8:27 now on New Jersey 101.5. I'll take more of your calls and look at more of your app chats on these costs. Coming up after we get an update of weather and traffic and news with Jen in 2 minutes on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. 8:38 it is on New Jersey 101.5. Happy Friday, everybody. Hey, just a reminder, if you have not checked out Jersey Thing from 6 to 7 p.m., do it tonight. Our good friend Joey Novick, a comedian and political gadfly, joins us every Friday on Jersey Thing for Capital Chaos, where we put the fun in dysfunctional government. And coming up after the 9 o'clock news, we're going to be talking about daylight saving time. Clocks go ahead when you go to bed on Saturday. Technically, I think it's 2 a.m. Sunday morning. And there are still efforts in New Jersey to basically have New Jersey permanently observe daylight saving time by remaining on Eastern Daylight Time year-round. And every year, it seems, the effort picks up a little bit more speed. So we're going to talk to you about that and what the impacts are. Biggest impact in our household is to the dogs. Because they don't understand. We've tried to explain it to them. They just want a treat. 8:39, talking gas prices. Gas prices up about 16 cents a gallon. And man, I'm looking at what you guys are paying. You're dropping me comments on the app chat this morning. And I feel for those of you that work in the trucking industry, particularly if you are an independent trucker. I mean, it's bad enough that the state government is trying to take away your ability to be an independent contractor and be an independent trucker, but you have to absorb those costs. Like Rob in Frenchtown said, I fill my truck 2 to 3 times a week. I'm a contractor. I'm constantly all over New Jersey. It was costing me $72. Now it's $94 to fill up. And diesel is up about $1 a gallon. We are seeing that this is a much bigger increase for diesel. And then it's also worth a side note from Ames in Hillsborough says, if you think diesel's expensive, how about insurance for truckers in New Jersey? It's insane. The minimum required liability is $1.5 million, federally $750K. I know a truck company owner that went from paying $9,000 a month in insurance to $22,000 and had no choice but to move his business to another state. Are you seeing gas that is under $3 a gallon still? by and large, from what I'm seeing on the AAA price spreadsheet, we're at three and change just about everywhere in New Jersey. Matt and Tom's River City's paying 3.25 at Wawa in Whiting. And if you do have like Costco memberships and things like that, yeah, you can get it still under $3 a gallon. But they say that that's about where it starts to pinch and where it starts to hurt and where people start scaling back their discretionary travel. You're not going to have any choice but to drive back and forth to work if you're required to be in the office. You'll also see a lot of people, I think, push to stay home and work from home more often, just at a time when everybody's pretty much being required to be in the office again. But I think if you can get it for less than $3 a gallon, that's a great bargain. And then as we start getting to around $3.50, and then hopefully we don't get to $4 a gallon, but if we do get to that point, that's when you're going to start impacting tourism. That's where you're going to start impacting the transportation industry. That's where and if you have no choice but to spend that extra money, there goes your discretionary income for other things, like taking a vacation, going out to eat, going to the movies, those types of things. So it has a profound impact on the economy. And there are a lot of you that are talking about the strategic petroleum reserves. And one comment on the app chat, as I find interesting, is anybody saying anything about how under the Biden administration we use the reserves in an attempt to keep gas prices down? The reserves are supposed to be used in times like these. That is not a full accounting of how that works. So, yes, there are strategic petroleum reserves. We talked to the analyst from Gas Buddy about that. And if you want to see that part of the conversation and get a better explanation, just go to our YouTube channel and search for Jersey Thing with Eric Scott. Last night's show, March 5th, we did address that. It is not enough to have, and it's a one-time shot, but the impact of, for example, the closure of the Straits of Hormuz, where you have millions of barrels of oil that are now not moving and are not entering the marketplace. While we won't run out of oil in the United States because of what's available in Alaska, because of the strategic petroleum reserves, if President Trump decides he wants to tap that, because oil is traded as a commodity on the open market, any time that you have a reduction in production, like we're seeing now in a very big way in the Middle East, the cost of that oil per barrel goes up, regardless of whether you're selling it out of the strategic petroleum reserve, whether you're getting it from Alaska, whether you're getting it from Texas, wherever you're getting it from, because you have less of a supply, it's supply and demand, right? You're going to see a rise in that price. The strategic petroleum reserve is in place, not necessarily to keep prices down, but to make sure that if we get into a situation like we are now, where we could not import oil from the Middle East, that we still have a domestic supply. And it was the Biden administration that did use it in a rather unique way to try to increase supply and keep gas prices down. Didn't necessarily work, but that's not really what it's intended to do. And when you're trading a commodity, I mean, it's traded like everything else on the commodities market, from orange juice to pork bellies to gold and silver. So while that could ensure that we do not run out of oil, and I'm using air quotes, that's not really what is the use of the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. And Jackie in East Windsor, you ask a very good question. Explain to me how the gas that's already in the ground goes from one price on a Monday to another price on a Tuesday. I will explain that to you after we get an update of weather and traffic here. It is 8:45 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning.
Fun, laughs, great conversation, and guests you want to hear from. It's 100% Trev. Weeknights on New Jersey 101.5. Brought to you by Estates Roadshow at TMT Cash for Gold.
8:53 is the time on New Jersey 101.5, and as we kind of wrap up this conversation about gas prices in New Jersey. There was a question on the app chat for how gas prices are raised in New Jersey. And the laws are both vague and specific. And a lot of people have suggested, well, hey, anytime that there is strife, there can be price gouging. Well, that doesn't exist as an offense for gas stations. The Division of Consumer Affairs does have a price gouging law that prohibits excessive price increases, but only during a declared state of emergency. So gas stations can raise their prices once in a 24-hour period. They can do it as high as they want. The way, if they want to charge $10 a gallon and you want to pay it, they can do that. There's no law against doing that unless there is a declared state of emergency. There is a law saying they cannot sell it beneath their cost. That's why, you know, when you see in other states where you can get 5 cents off a gallon, 10 cents off a gallon, whatever, that can't happen in New Jersey. They also can't give you free gifts. You can't get jelly jars and things like that. There is a law that says you're not allowed to sell gasoline below cost. So when you see at places, you know, like Costco or other places like that, they're buying it wholesale. They're getting it cheaper. They're probably selling it to you at cost or maybe a couple of pennies above. And when you talk about, you know, the gas that is in the ground, that's in the tank, that was one cost. So most stations will have a price at the pump that reflects what they paid to fill that tank. Doesn't have to be, but that's generally how it works. Then if they get a new delivery at a higher price, their price increases will reflect that, and so on and so on. So typically, if you've paid a lesser price for what you've already got in the ground, your at-pump price should reflect that. And that's why you can sometimes see a disparity from station to station, even along the same road. Because if one got their delivery on a Monday and another got their delivery on a Wednesday, or one has a new tank that comes in a day or two after or before the other, you can see why there would be that disparity. If they're all on the same corner, chances are they're going to be within a penny or two of each other. But that is an interesting quirk in New Jersey consumer law. There is no price gouging statute absent a state of emergency for gas stations. They can charge whatever they want. They just can't charge less than what they paid for it. 8:55 on New Jersey 101.5. Hey, should we stay on Eastern Standard Time? Efforts in New Jersey, once again, to get rid of daylight saving time. We'll talk about it after news, weather, and traffic with Jen in 4 minutes on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning.
When severe weather strikes, New Jersey 101.5 is your trusted source, providing critical alerts you can count on. Powered by Earth Treasures Jewelers, Ultimate Collision, and Meyer and DePue.
Parks Casino, New Jersey Chime Time is 9:09. I'm Eric Scott. Bill will be back with us on Monday after a well-deserved week of vacation. 1-800-283-101.5. How you feeling about daylight saving time? We set the clocks ahead Saturday before you go to bed. Technically, it's 2 a.m. Sunday morning. And I don't know how I feel about it. The schedule that we have when you do a morning radio show like this is so bizarre anyway that, you know, one of the advantages is I don't suffer from jet lag because I have such an odd sleep schedule to begin with. I know a lot of people don't like it. It doesn't really bother me. I like the fact that it stays lighter later at night and you can get out and grill and things like that in the evening when it's not dark. I do kind of miss the earlier sunrise, but this has been a debate that's been going on for, I think, as long as we've had daylight saving time. And you often think about the negative effects of losing an hour of sleep one day of the year when we set the clocks for summertime, but we gain a lot in terms of the daylight. New Jersey has had a bill for a long time that would have New Jersey permanently observe daylight saving time by remaining on Eastern Daylight Time year-round once it was permitted by federal law. And every year it seems to get a little bit closer. And it's a bill that has been very controversial. How do you feel about the time change? And what's the biggest challenge for you? If you have pets in the home, that, I think, is the biggest challenge. It used to be you had to run around and you had to reset all your clocks, clock in your car, clock on the VCR, clock on the cable box, clock on the wall. Now everything does it automatically. I think the only thing that doesn't automatically set itself is the clock that we have on the microwave over the stove. And that's a relatively easy fix. Everything else sets itself. Your phones do. Your cable box does, if you even have a clock on there anymore. But you think about it, even the alarm clocks, most alarm clocks now, if you even use an alarm clock and don't use your phone, I have both, but mine taps into whatever that wireless thing is that tells it the time. It automatically changes the time. So that even that's not a big deal anymore. Do you like it? Do you hate it? Do you think we should abandon it? Do you like this idea of staying permanently on Eastern Daylight Time? I know the one good thing about it is it does remind us to change the batteries in our smoke detectors. But even that's not an issue in the house anymore because I just replaced all of the traditional smoke detectors with the ones that have the 10-year battery. And they also are CO2 detectors. So it's smoke and fire, CO. The one thing I don't like about it is they talk to you because I'm forever setting the one off in the kitchen. One of the things I am looking forward to the most when we eventually redo our kitchen is putting in a really powerful range hood so that, you know, when I'm cooking, if I try to do like a blackened salmon or a blackened, you know, fish or chicken or something like that, the range hood I have on the microwave, it's just not powerful enough. So I will invariably set off the smoke detector in the kitchen. The new one's not quite as bad. It's supposed to be, you know, designed for kitchens, but it still happens. And that freaks the dogs out. And now the thing yells at you. And so that's an issue. And that's been one of the biggest arguments is that it is the reminder when you set the clocks forward or back that you change the battery in your smoke detectors. But most of them are hardwired in anyway, and all of the newer ones have 10-year batteries. And I don't even think it can replace it. I think you have to replace the entire unit, which they say is good anyway. 1-800-283-101.5 is our telephone number. I did want to address on the app chat, you know, because Bill was away this week, we didn't get the hate-o-meter. And, you know, Bill and I both, we absolutely love that. And our dear friend and fellow listener, Kat, in Central New Jersey, had some very unkind things to say, which made us all laugh. So, Kat, I appreciate you being able to get a little keyboard courage and not wanting to call in and actually say the things that you were saying on the app chat. But she reminded me that this week I didn't really talk about the Tiki Bar at all. And Kat missed the updates on the Tiki Bar. So I will tell you, Kat, the Tiki Bar is alive and well. It is fully heated for the wintertime. We got a little Tiki time in last weekend. We're hoping to get a little bit more in this weekend. And if you'd like, I'll send you photos on the app chat so you can feel like you were right there in the middle of it. And accuse me of reporting fake news on the gas price increases. Your opinion. Everybody has one. But no, I mean, those are the facts. The facts about the increases, they are the facts. That's what's driving it, and that's where we're at. But I thank you very much, Kat, for being a loyal listener and wanting to get an update on the Tiki Bar. 9:15 on New Jersey 101.5. So let's go through some of the pros and cons of daylight saving time. And I'd love to know what the biggest impact is for you. And how do you deal with your dogs? If normally they get a meal at 5 o'clock in the evening, what happens with that? Do you adjust that time? Are they constantly at your side saying, hey, it's time to eat? And what is the biggest impact to you? 9:15 on New Jersey 101.5 traffic and weather coming up in 3 minutes.
From Chief Meteorologist Dan Zero's weather to traffic that explains what's happening, a powerful local newsroom and conversations you actually care about. New Jersey 101.5 keeps you informed, entertained, and connected all day long.
9:22 on New Jersey 101.5, Friday morning in the Great Garden State. Again, a reminder, join me for Jersey Thing tonight on New Jersey 101.5, 6 o'clock, right after Dominski and Moore. Our good friend Joey Novick will join us for our regular Friday segment, Capital Chaos, where we put the fun in government dysfunction. We'll also be talking a little bit more about ICE activity in New Jersey and how ICE is really hitting back against a New Jersey congresswoman because facts in these cases matter. You can check out my story at nj1015.com as well. 9:22 it is. All right, so we're talking about the daylight saving time. We are springing forward Saturday before we go to bed, technically 2 o'clock on Sunday. Proponents of daylight saving time argue that longer evenings motivate people to get out of the house. The extra hour of daylight can be used for outdoor recreation like golf, soccer, baseball, running, etc. And that way, daylight saving time may counteract the sedentary lifestyle of modern living. I don't know about that. The tourism industry certainly profits from brighter evenings. Longer evenings give people more time to go shopping, to restaurants, or to other events, boosting the local economy. One of the pro arguments for it always was that it was going to save energy. That may have been true a century ago when more daylight was a good thing because it meant less use of artificial light and more energy savings. But in today's society with computers and TV screens and air conditioning units, you actually use more energy no matter if the sun is up or not. So the amount of energy, if any, that is saved from daylight savings time is negligible. There is a pro to less artificial light. I mean, one of the aims was to make sure that your active hours coincided with daylight hours so that less artificial light was needed. Well, makes less sense closer to the equator. But at latitudes between the extremes, adjusting the daily routines, that may have some impact. But it also, you know, it just, I don't know. I love more light at night, but I also like seeing the sun come up in the morning. For us, and I was having a conversation with Thomas about this on Jersey Thing last night, is that at the time that we get up and come into work, it's dark anyway. Doesn't matter, even in the summertime. So we're in the studio when the sun is coming up. Does it really make that much of a difference? Trucking guy in Poundbrook writes on the app chat, I'm still trying to figure out why they called it daylight savings time. You can't save daylight. Should be called daylight shifting time. Yeah. Steve in Manchester writes, I hate daylight saving. I was in Arizona and they don't adhere to daylight savings time. And there are a handful of states that actually do that. Why not just wake up an hour earlier? Why make it such a big thing? Never understood it. Sun moves in the sky. The days get longer naturally. There's no difference from changing clocks to just waking up an hour earlier. I guess so. I'm on the fence. I certainly can see the argument for getting rid of it. But I also could see the argument for keeping it. You know, at one point, it also helped the agriculture industry. But with the technologies that we have today, I don't know that that really makes that much of a difference. So, who knows? New Jersey is going to continue, I'm sure, to push for staying on Eastern Standard Time in perpetuity. But even if the legislation were to pass and be signed into law by the governor, you still would need authorization by Congress. And Congress has not shown any inclination to want to do that. All right, before we sign off for the day, when we come back from news, weather, and traffic with Jen, I want to play with you a little segment that we had on Jersey Thing last night about the Titanic. From the time that I was a kid, I've always been fascinated by the wreck and sinking of the Titanic. But I didn't realize until really just a couple of weeks ago how many Jersey connections there are to the sinking of the Titanic, including one that involves one of the biggest stars, biggest actresses of the day, and the solid connection to New Jersey between her and the Titanic. You'll hear that story coming up after news, weather, and traffic in 3 minutes. It's 9:27. Good morning. 9:37 it is on New Jersey 101.5. I'm Eric Scott. Bill will be back with us on Monday. From the time that I was a kid, I was fascinated by the sinking of the Titanic. April 15th, 1912, well over a century ago. And there are shows and museums and events and artifacts and everything surrounding the Titanic where people are still fascinated by it. And every time there is another documentary where you have subs that have gone down to the Titanic and show the wreckage and all, I'm glued to it. I'm absolutely fascinated by it. And my good friend Bob DeSando, he was a journalist for many, many, many decades in New Jersey, was a great admirer of his work in politics and covering government, retired a while ago and has written a couple of books about the Titanic, including one that is titled A Titanic Loss for New Jersey. And it really wasn't until we were chatting one day and I looked at a copy of his book, I didn't realize how many connections there were between the Titanic and its passengers and other things that are connected. The disaster had major consequences for New Jersey. Business leaders, investors, some of the very well-to-do that were on the Titanic that went down with the Titanic and lost their lives had businesses and industry based in New Jersey. And it had a devastating effect on those businesses and that industry in the Garden State. But one of the most fascinating stories that Bob shared with us on A Jersey Thing last night involved one of the most famous actresses of the day who actually wound up surviving the wreck of the Titanic. So listen to this story.
Well, the one I was most fascinated with was the life of Dorothy Gibson. She was an actress who was a big star during the silent film era when Fort Lee was actually the Hollywood the East. There was no Hollywood in the West. And she was on a Titanic. She had done several pictures, was one of the highest paid silent film actresses at the time. She was born in Hoboken. And of course, all the filming was done in Fort Lee. And she went on the Titanic for a vacation in Europe and with her mother and came back and survived because she was able, as a first class passenger, they were both able to get on a boat rather easily. But when she came back, the fascinating thing was she worked for a studio that was called Eclair Pictures, and it eventually evolved into Universal. And the producer or the head of the studio immediately suggested that she make a movie about the Titanic. So the very first movie about the sinking of the Titanic was filmed within a 4-week period right after she got off the Carpathia, which was the rescue ship.
Yeah.
And it was released in theaters. It 1 month later, it was released in theaters. And it turned out to be the highest grossing film that studio ever produced. And it was the most popular one of her career. And the most interesting thing to me was that she actually wore for the film in Lifeboat, the actual clothing she had on that night. So realistic to an extent, the plot was jazzed up to make it a little bit more romantic and all that. It's sort of fictional, but, you know, you get the gist of it. And the fact that she survived it and she was a real person was utterly fascinating.
So the very first movie ever made by the Titanic, and there have been a lot of them, was made right here in New Jersey, starring an actress who survived the sinking of the Titanic. And the rest of her story, though, I will tell you, is incredibly tragic. If you want to hear that full story and the conversation that Bob DeSanto and I had about it, you can go to our YouTube channel and search Jersey Thing with Eric Scott, or go to the New Jersey 101.5 YouTube channel and download and watch the episode from last night, March 5th. And it is, I ordered his book off of Amazon because I want to read it on vacation because of all of the different Jersey connections to the Titanic. I think it is just absolutely fascinating. We'll come back after we get an update of weather and traffic. Producer Thomas will join us. We'll take a look at some of your best comments of the day. But I do want to remind you one more time, and probably many times before then, if you want to come and meet me and have a conversation over some great food and even better wine, I will be at Ristorante Luca on March 22nd. That's a Sunday. Sandra and I will be hosting their traditional Italian dinner, served family style at the table. It's only $49 per person. The food is outstanding. Some of the best pasta I have ever had. Chef Andrea does an amazing job. The event, every time we've done it, it has sold out. You do not have to prepay, by the way, but I would encourage you to make reservations. You can walk up, but it is sold out every time that we've done this. RestauranteLuca.com. And a couple of you have asked, hey, are you doing the Hamilton St. Patrick's Parade this year? And yes, Sandra and I will both be aboard the bus / float for Longford Landscaping. My good buddy Mick invites us every year, and he always has a lot of great goodies to give out along the parade route. So we'll have candy for the kids, and I'm sure we'll have T-shirts and other giveaways. So if you're going to the Hamilton Parade, which is next weekend already, on the 14th. Parade season starts this weekend, but Hamilton, Mercer County, their event is next Saturday on the 14th. Look for Sandra and I. We'll be on the Longford Landscape bus / float, and it is always a great time at the parade. It is 9:45 now on New Jersey 101.5. We'll get an update of traffic and weather, and then your comments in 3 minutes.
Connect to the show anytime by sending us a message through our app. Just tap on Chat with Hosts, only on New Jersey 101.5.
They use their fingers for voices, 'cause that's what their choice is. Eric and Thomas.
Sending you into the weekend with a little bit of yacht rock. So, Thomas, I'm really excited because on a Jersey Thing tonight, we have a new yacht rock app chat video to debut.
We do, yes.
You've seen it, right?
I have seen it.
Do you like it? I like it a lot.
I do. I think it's very good. I think as the months go on, it'll get better and better. we'll touch it up a bit, but as of the first video right now, it is quite good.
Yeah, I like it. So I'm looking forward to that. And you can go to the YouTube channel after the show airs tonight, 6 to 7, to see that. But what did you like on the app this morning? Because we were all over the board today.
Before I even start, I want to say Lauren Tewksbury, the grammar police, back saying Sandra and me. So there you go, Eric.
And then we had another one, too, I got to tell you. So I don't know if you're going to read this one or not, But our friend Kat in Central New Jersey, we've been going back and forth all morning on the app chat because she doesn't have the courage to actually call. I hope some of her comments makes the hate-o-meter next
They've
week.
Been saved already. Don't
Excellent.
Worry.
Okay, good. Good, good, good.
So we're going to start off here. Also, you were talking about dumb injuries before.
Yeah.
I did want to quickly say mine, something I've done before.
Oh, please.
I played freshman football. By looking at me, you wouldn't think that, but I did. One morning, as I was getting up, I got out of bed, and I completely twisted my ankle, like so bad it was purple.
Oh.
So I had to go into school with, I put like a, what do you call it? Not a cast.
An ace bandage?
Like a bandage on it.
Yep.
And I had to go into school and tell my freshman football coaches, I'm sorry, I might be out a week or two. I just completely sprained my ankle. And you're like, how'd you do that? I'm like, I got out of bed. It was so embarrassing.
That's something that happens to old guys like Bill and I, not to you.
I was like 14, too. It was funny. So embarrassing.
Yeah, I get it.
But you were talking about daylight savings time before.
Yeah.
Don and Hamilton wanted to chime in and says he likes daylight savings time. Because it's lighter, longer in the evening.
Yeah, I get that. You and I talked about that. Is it, you know, it certainly increases your chances of being able to grill outside now because the sun is up a little bit longer.
Yeah. I wish that was permanent, though.
Yeah, me too.
I wish the lighter, longer was permanent, not whatever we're doing now.
Right.
Which is dumb.
Exactly. I agree.
And you were also talking about gas before. Cameron and Glenn Gardner wanted to chime in and say, the Wawa in Flanders, she just filled up for $3.29 a gallon.
Yikes. That's above the average, which is $3.16 right now. Started out the week at $3. It's $3.16 now.
Is it only going to go up from here?
Yeah, it's only going to go up from here.
And then Donna in Bridgewater said, just paid $2.83 at Costco this morning, which isn't bad. That's up 10 cents, though, from last week or the week before.
Yeah. And diesel's even worse, up like a dollar a gallon at this
point. A dollar?
Yeah, dollar a gallon for diesel. You're going to see that on the store shelves soon, I think.
I have not seen an increase in my gas prices. There probably has been, though, but if it's only going to go up from here, I'm probably going to be looking at paying $36 to fill up my tank, $37 as I'm paying like $30 now.
Yeah. Do you go to a Costco or something like that?
No, I wish I went to a Costco. I go to the Exxon near me, which is actually pretty expensive.
Yeesh. Yeah, they're among the top.
And the last one here saying, last one here is Bill and Brick saying, because you were talking about the detectors before, saying my detector in the kitchen goes off also. I had an empty tub of cottage cheese from Costco. Oh.
Okay.
I may have read that wrong, but Bill and Brick want to let you know he had a cottage cheese from Costco, I guess. And there you go.
All right. good. I guess you put that over the detector. You smear the cottage cheese on the smoke detector. Not sure how that works. Join us for Jersey Thing tonight at 6. Bill is back with us on Monday. You've got Judy and EJ coming up next. Have a great weekend, everyone. Thanks for being here this